I'm going to be speaking today from Proverbs. If you want to open your Bibles to the Proverbs, and I'm just going to read, first of all, from Proverbs 16, verse 24, and also from Colossians. We're closing out our series on sweet and salty. And I just want to also acknowledge that Peggy Main and Ben are here, Peggy and Ben, and Tanya and Shaya and Erica and Brian and their family. They're all related to Jordan, who Peggy is Jordan's grandma. And he was a 17-year-old boy that was hit by a car on Route 18 this week, and he didn't make it. And we just want you to know how much we love you guys. And that our prayers go with you. And it's just good to see you here in church today. And talking with Cindy yesterday too, they just need our prayers. It's a difficult time, but God is faithful, isn't He? Love you. How's everyone doing? We're all doing good. I think I want to completely change what I was going to speak on. Because I just really feel that I just want to show a picture of Jesus today, who He is, and what He did for Jordan, and what He's done for you and for me. I did give a text on a Friday. It's from 1 Samuel 20, verse 3. David had been anointed the king of Israel, but one small little problem, there already was a king. His name was Saul. And when Saul saw how anointed David was, Saul decided he wanted to kill David. So he would throw a spear at David and try to pin him against the wall, and David would elude him, and David was running for his life. And there was one time when Jonathan, who had covenanted himself with David, intervened for David and with his father Saul. And so he said, "No, my father doesn't do anything without telling me." And Jonathan intervened for David and brought him back into Saul. But then Saul tried to kill him again. This time David ran away and Jonathan didn't know about it. And David said to him, he said these words, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, there's only a step between me and death. As surely as you live and as the Lord lives, there's only a step between me and death." And there's a few things that I just want to say about that step. Because it really, as we talk about it, it just really shows us the love of Jesus and His heart for us, and His heart for Jordan at that moment too. The first thing about that step is it's a certain step. In other words, what that means is that everyone is going to take that step. Everyone in this room, everyone living, is going to take that step one day. It's a certain step. The Bible says that it's appointed for man once to die. In Ecclesiastes, it says the death is the destiny of every man. The living should take this to heart. So it's a certain step. Every one of us is going to take it. But it's also the opposite. It's not only is it a certain step, it's an uncertain step. Because none of us knows when. None of us knows where. None of us knows how. And none of us expects it to happen when we're 17. Nevertheless, it's something that we all need to be prepared for. And that's where Jesus comes in. It's a certain step. We're all going to die. It's an uncertain step. None of us knows when, where, how. It's a final step. Because that verse goes on and it says, man is destined to die once and then comes the judgment. There's no second chances after we die. We go before Jesus right then and there. But here's the good news. Here's the good news about Jesus. You've heard me say this before, but Jesus was judged so that you and I wouldn't have to be. We all know the story of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, that when he was on the cross, that the earth turned dark for 3 hours. And when we read the Old Testament, it's very clear that darkness indicates judgment, that darkness indicates wrath is being poured out. The Bible says that in the 3 hours, Luke's gospel puts it this way, that the sun stopped shining at noon. The sun went the sun stopped shining at noon. From noon till 3 p.m., it was darkness over the land. And what was happening at that moment was the judgment that you deserve, the judgment that I deserve, the judgment that Jordan deserved was being poured out on Jesus. See, a lot of us, we don't like to think that we're deserving of judgment. But the Bible is clear. There's no one righteous, not even one. There's no one who's good. Jordan was a good boy, but he's not in heaven today because of his goodness. He's in heaven today because someone was judged for him. Someone said, Dad, charge it to my account. That's what Jesus did for us. Judgment was being poured out on Jesus. Wrath was being poured out on Jesus. And here's something that is so powerful that we need to really grasp and get a hold of, because as Jesus was being judged, you know what was happening to Jesus? He was suffering. Sometimes when we go through suffering, that's what I love about that verse. Though I may wonder, well, why? Still I will follow. You see, Jesus said, I have said, in John 16, he says, I have said these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. Is there anyone here that I'm talking to that hasn't had any troubles in this world? Is there anyone here that you haven't gone through a little suffering, some sorrow, some wondering, some questions, some doubting? Is there anyone here? The fact that Jesus went through suffering for you and for me just shows us once again how much he is in tune with who we are, how much he knows what we're going through. The Bible says that he was tempted in every way like as we are, yet was without sin. And it also says that he was made perfect through his suffering. So that's what Jesus did. He took our judgment. So it's a certain step. It's an uncertain step. It's a final step. It's a parting step. Death is separation. And so when we die physically, what happens? We are separated from our body. The real you and the real me is not this body. This is not the real you. This is not the real me. If I went to war and I was blown up and I came back with no arms and no legs, would I be less of a person? No, because what makes me a person, what makes me personal is my intellect, my will, my emotions, my soul, my spirit. That's what makes me a person, not this body. The Bible says that the body is going to go back to the earth, to the dust, but the spirit's going to return to God who gave it. There's a parting that took place. But here's the thing that's so important about that. Jesus was separated from his Father so that you and I never would have to be. Jesus was separated from God, his Father, so that you and I wouldn't have to be. Here again, this is what Jesus has done for us. When Jesus was on the cross and the earth turned dark, Matthew's gospel and Mark's gospel both record these words that Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? You know, there again we see how one with us Jesus is. That on the cross, the same question that you and I will ask when something goes wrong or goes amiss and we don't understand it, Jesus said the same thing. My God, why have you forsaken me? It's a beautiful picture, really, of the fact, again, that our God understands. He knows what we're going through. And that's why, though none go with me, still I will follow. Though I may wander, still I will follow. No turning back. See, because the fact that Jesus was separate, see, in that moment, as the sin of the world was being poured out on Jesus, and as the wrath of God was being poured out on Jesus, God could not look at him. God could not. God had to turn his back on Jesus. He had to. They were separated. That's really a definition of hell. Separation from God. And Jesus endured that. He suffered that. Why? So that you and I would not have to be. This is what Jesus said in John chapter 11. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, even though he's separated from his body. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die, will never be separated from me. Why? Because Jesus was separated from the Father. So that you and I, this is how we know where Jordan is today. Not because he was a good boy, a good young man. But he's in heaven today because Jesus took his judgment. And Jesus was separated from the Father so that Jordan wouldn't have to be. And then this is the one thing that I did share at the funeral. The next thing about this step, it's a solitary step. See, none of us will take this step with our mother or our father or our pastor, our brother or our sister. We all take it alone. Every one of us. It's a step we're all going to take, and we're all going to take it alone. But here's the good news. We're really not alone. Because this is what the Bible says. First of all, Psalm 130 says this. It says, if you, O Lord, kept a record of sins. Oh Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. If you, oh Lord, kept a record of sins, oh Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. And then John says this, if we say that we've not sinned, we make him out to be a liar. But if we do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Now that word advocate in 1 John chapter 2 is the exact same word that's in John chapter 14, 15, and 16. And some translations translate it comforter. Some translations translate it counselor. Others will translate it helper. And then in 1 John it's translated advocate. What does that word mean? It means somebody who comes alongside of you and is right there with you. So as I shared on Friday, as Jordan was taking one step in this world and the next step in the next world, Jesus was right there alongside of him. We're never alone when we have Jesus. Look at what Jesus has done for us. First of all, he totally understands what we're going through because he too has suffered. You know what? There are no man-made gods that suffer. The Zeuses, the Thors, they don't suffer for us. But we have a God who's just like us. He suffers for his people. He understands. He knows. He took our judgment. He was separated so that we wouldn't have to be. And now he's been raised from the dead. He comes alongside of us. And he's right there holding us. And so the last point was, it's an altogether solemn step. Because although everybody wants to go to heaven, Jesus spoke about two destinations. One is separation from God. The other is to be with God forever. And it's all based on our faith in Jesus Christ. By putting our faith in Jesus Christ. And that's the good news today. We know that Jordan had put his faith in Jesus Christ. And if you put your faith in Jesus Christ today, you can know that you have eternal life. You see, no one goes to heaven because their good deeds outweigh their bad deeds. There's no scale like that in heaven. There's a scale and it only looks for one thing. It's not a scale. There's only one thing that Jesus, that God will look for when we die. And you want to know what that is? It's blood. In the Passover, they were told to take a year-old lamb, unblemished, without spot, without any sin, and to slaughter that lamb. And then they were told to take some of the blood of that lamb and to put it on the top of the door and on the side of the door, doorposts. And then this is what he said, when I see the blood, I will pass over them in judgment. And so when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, I love that song says, down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. You see, if the blood has been applied to your life, then judgment's already been paid for you. You will not be judged. You will never be separated from God. Jesus paid the penalty. This is why Jesus says it's the only way. This is why Jesus said in John chapter 14, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you will be also. He says, and where I'm going, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said, Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. Listen, Muhammad never bore the wrath of God in his body. He did not take our judgment. He was never raised from the dead. He's not the way. Buddha is not the way. Confucianism is not the way. Jesus is the only one. This is why Jesus is the only way. This is why we must put our faith in Jesus Christ. And if we put our faith in Jesus Christ, this is how we can know that we have eternal life. Because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, and because when we put our faith in him, when we repent of our sins, guess what happens? We are washed. We are cleansed. We are made new. We are whole. And that's how we know that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. And this is why Paul would say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. You and your household. And they said, there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby which we must be saved. And this is why Paul said that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And this is why you and I can have joy today. And this is why, although it is a very difficult time in knowing that this young boy is gone, guess what? He's in heaven with Jesus. Paul said it's far better to be there. He said to live is Christ and to die is gain. In your presence, there's fullness of joy. At your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. And this is what it says about heaven. When the great multitude appeared in heaven from every people, every nation, every tongue, every tribe, every language. It says, now they are before the throne of God, and they serve him day and night in his temple, and he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. In other words, I will protect them. That's God the Father. He who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat, for the Lamb, Jesus, at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. And he will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. That's where Jordan is right now. That's where every one of us will go if we've put our faith in Jesus Christ. It says that in that place in Revelation 21, it says there's no more parting there. There's no more separation. There's no more death. That's what that means. There's no more mourning. There's no more tears. There's no more night. It will always be lightness there. There'll be no more darkness. This is the place that Jesus has gone to prepare for us. Because he loves us. And I just really felt compelled to share this morning. Because I wanted you guys to know. Again, we want you to know how much we love you and understand that. Well, we don't really understand. I've never been through that. I've never lost a son or a grandson. But Jesus knows. The Father knows. The Father lost his son. He gave his son so that we could have life. And although I know it's difficult and I know that it's still such a short time and there's so much grieving left to be done, I wanted you to know that Jordan is in heaven. You know, when we were at the gravesite, on Friday, John and Cindy brought I don't know what it was, but it had three live butterflies in it. And they let the butterflies go. But I talked with Cindy yesterday, and she told me a story of someone that was one of the last people to come to the graveside yesterday, or on Friday, I mean. And this person, they saw it was like an ugly moth at first, and then all of a sudden a beautiful butterfly. And just saw the butterfly floating around and staying around, and it went. It wasn't one of the butterflies they let go because they hadn't let him go yet. It went and it landed on John and Cindy's car and stayed there until the end of the service. And then it flitted away. You know, as John and Cindy chose the symbolism of the butterfly, God did the same thing. God chose to send that butterfly and to have someone see it so that it could share with John and Cindy the same symbolism they had chosen. That's not a coincidence. God was speaking to them. Jordan's with me. He's safe. He's okay. My wife, we were on the night that Jordan died, my wife, she didn't know the song. Probably some of you know it because it's on K-Love and it's on The Message. It's called Home. It's a relatively new song by Chris Tomlin. And she woke up that night all night long and just kept singing that song. Although she only knew it subconsciously because we had heard it on the way home from Johnstown, my granddaughter's first birthday party last weekend. I remember hearing it, but she didn't. I think that was probably the only time she heard the song. That night she goes, do you know this song? And I knew the song, but she didn't know the song. But she woke up all night long and it was as if she said, the Lord is just telling me that Jordan is home. He's home. And then this morning, I received a text from Peggy. A beautiful little text that John had received a message from a friend. Now, this is not why Jordan died, okay? But God chooses to use anything for his glory, doesn't he? And one of John's friends told a story of how his 5-year-old son was asking questions about Jordan, and as he was able to share with his 5-year-old son about Jordan, the 5-year-old boy wanted to have Jesus in his heart. He wanted to accept Jesus as Lord. Isn't that amazing? And of course, what a great comfort that was to John and to Cindy. Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. That's speaking about Jesus, but it applies again in this circumstance because seeds are already growing because another seed gave its life. What about you today? Have you committed your life to Jesus Christ? I'm going to ask the worship team if they'll come forward. Have you yielded your life to Jesus Christ? I want you to know that when you give your heart to Jesus, that you don't have to worry about judgment anymore. That you don't have to worry about separation anymore. That you don't have to worry about being alone anymore. That you don't have to worry about hell anymore. That you don't have to worry about when will that day be, how will it be, because you know when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, you know that you have eternal life. You will live forever. When Jesus was in his last week on this earth, he was being tested again and again. They kept trying to cause him to stumble or fall in some way, and a group of Sadducees came to him, and the Bible records that these Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection of the dead. And so they came up with this ridiculous question. A man married this woman, and he had 7 brothers, and the man died. And so the second brother married her, and he died. And the third married her, and on to the seventh. And then they all died, and then the woman died. Well, at the resurrection, whose wife will she be since she was married to the 7? And Jesus said to them, "Are you not in error? Because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God?" He says, when you die, you will neither be married nor be given in marriage, but you'll be like the angels in heaven. But he said, but about the resurrection of the dead. He said, have you never read what the Lord said to Moses on the mountain? I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Jesus said, he is not the God of the dead, but of the living. He said, you are badly mistaken. You see, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had died hundreds of years before that. But Jesus was saying, they're alive. They're alive. Peter said, we did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We were eyewitnesses of his majesty. If you just close your eyes and bow your heads for a moment. If you're here this morning and maybe you've never heard it quite presented this way, I don't know. Maybe you've never fully yielded your life to Jesus Christ, and maybe you've been thinking about it for a while. Well, maybe today's the day for you. If you're here today and you would like to yield your life to Jesus Christ and make him Lord of your life and follow him, could you just raise your right hand this morning? There's one, there's two. Is there anyone else? There's another. Go ahead, you can put your hands down. Is there anyone else? Would you like to just yield your life to Jesus Christ this morning? Is there anyone else this morning? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Just pray along with me. Lord Jesus, I love you. And I thank you for taking my judgment, for taking my place, and for making a way for me to have eternal life. Thank you for shedding your blood for me. I believe it's true, and I trust you, Lord. I ask you to forgive me of my sins, and I ask you to come into my heart and live inside of me. I want you to be the Lord of my life, and I want to follow you. I want to follow you, Lord Jesus. Help me, Lord. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer from your heart, even if you didn't raise your hand, I said it Tuesday night. We had a wonderful concert here Tuesday night, by the way. That group from Mobile, Alabama, they were incredible. American Idol had nothing on us that night. Boy, were they good. I mean, literally, they were that good and better. Why am I talking about them? No, because I said that night, during the altar call, that there is no magic in a prayer. There's no incantation or mystical formula that will cause you to be saved. God just wants us to be honest with him, that's all, in our hearts. He wants a relationship with you. He wants to be your friend. And as you talk to a friend, and as I have a great friend in the front row here. My wife, I love her with all my heart. And as perfect as I am almost, I do blow it sometimes. I didn't yesterday, by the way. I was perfect yesterday. Oh, okay, maybe I wasn't. I kind of blew it yesterday. But you know, what does a friend do to a friend when they blow it? I was wrong, honey. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. It's what we just did with Jesus. I was wrong, Dad. I was wrong, Jesus. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Come into my life. I want you to be part of my life. And he does. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you, there is forgiveness. He made forgiveness possible on the cross. So there's only one thing left for us to do. Let's follow him. Jesus says, I'm going in this direction. Oh, then so am I. I'm going to follow Jesus. Though none go with me, though I may wander, with the cross before me and the world behind me. Let's stand and let's close with this song.